Megan Sharp is the artistic director of Zephyrus, an early music choir that specializes in Renaissance and Baroque music. In this classical conversation, you'll hear her talk about the upcoming choral evensong service this Sunday, February 27, at St. Paul's Memorial Church. You'll also hear her talk about how she came to early music and Zephyrus.
So I'm the music director of Zephyrus. Jonathan Skockel is the artistic director, which is kind of a new addition to our group of folks who are leading the group. And I have been directing the group since 2011. Zephyrus has been around since 1991.
Wow.
It was founded by Paul Walker. He was a professor at the University of Virginia, specialized in musicology and loved early music. And so he really started the group as a way to bring to life the sounds that were kind of going on in his head as he was studying scores. So it's had a real educational aspect to it all along. The folks who sing in Zephyrus are auditioned, but they are amateurs. You know, they have other jobs, they do other things. And so part of being in Zephyrus is learning about the music that you're singing, not just learning the notes and the rhythms, but actually learning about the composers and the times that the music was written. Zephyrus really kind of specializes in or sings mostly Renaissance and Baroque music. Occasionally we'll go into that earlier area of medieval.
The music for the voice is so, it's innumerable in this era.
Yeah, there's a lot of polyphonic writing that includes lots of different voice parts, and it can be super complicated, but you can also find really simple things that are just gorgeous, just lovely harmonies and beautiful ways of setting the text, and just such a great experience to hear that music live and in person, and also just to sing it. That the folks that sing in Zephyrus really love the experience of singing this music that has not maybe been sung for centuries.
Talk to me about some musical moments in the upcoming service for Evensong.
Sure. So we are focusing on the music of Heinrich Schütz. We're singing a piece that is the German Magnificat, and it was known to be the last piece that he wrote. It was it was published in a collection called Schwanengesang, which means swan song, so sort of my last hurrah. Mm. And it's really complicated and really just such beautiful writing. There's several different sections. There's some really long, drawn-out sections that are slow, and then there's some fast parts that are a little bit more spoken and rhythmically complex. And Zephyrus has really enjoyed digging into that and trying to wrap their mouths around German successfully. It's a long, the Magnificat text is a long text. It's the text of what Mary says after the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, hey, you're going to have a son who's going to be, you know, conceived by the Holy Ghost. You're going to give birth to God's son. And so she goes on and says, my soul magnifies the Lord. But it's quite a long text. And so that's a lot of German to get your mouth around. But it's set in such a beautiful way. It's really wonderful. The other canticle that is always sung in an evensong service is the Nunc Dimittis. And that, it's also by Schütz, the setting that we're doing, is in great contrast to that. It's just slow and just absolutely gorgeous. In some ways, I like the Nunc Dimittis more just because you get to sort of wallow in these slow harmonic changes where the Magnificat kind of comes at you fast and furious and is a little more complex because the Magnificat actually has two choirs going on. The Nunc Dimittis is just six-part, one choir. So there's a lot of, they just sound very different even though they're the same composer. We are singing at St. Paul's Memorial Church on University Ave at 1700 University Ave. And it, I think, is one of the best places to sing in this town. It really has a fantastic acoustic, and it allows the music to, you know, come out of the singers and really blend together in that sanctuary. It's just a lovely, lovely space to hear this music. And the music that we've chosen is all meant to be sung in a liturgical setting. So when you come to an evensong service, you're hearing the music for what it was written, where it was written to be performed.
If you're thinking of attending this event, Something to look forward to is experiencing contrast not only in the choir's singing of these two selections, but also hearing the contrast between two compositions of the same composer. Megan and I shared a nerd moment about that, and then I went on to ask her about how she came to early music.
I've been singing forever, since I was about 16. Did my undergraduate work at the College of Worcester in Ohio, and then went on to Boston Conservatory. And I studied mainstream opera for my master's degree. Being in Boston really exposes you to a lot of early music because there's just a lot of it going on in that area of the world. I came to it a little bit while I was doing my degree, but more so once I finished my master's, I connected with another singer, Sally Sanford, who's also a scholar and a teacher and a lover of early music. And I started studying with her after my master's degree and just learned a lot of early techniques, vocal techniques, and was exposed to a lot of different music and was able to audition for the Boston Early Music Festival and land a part in their full-scale opera that they were putting on. It's called Thésée, and it's by Lully. And to get to do this full-blown opera, full costumes, all in French, with early instruments and with Baroque dancers, and that was really a pivotal moment in my life and fun to get immersed in that whole early music scene in Boston and kind of make the shift from a traditional classical singer into singing more specifically early music.
So can you talk to me about the differences between maybe the Boston scene and then the Charlottesville early music scene? Take me here now. We're in Charlottesville, you're at Zephyrus. So compare the scenes.
Well, I think Charlottesville, for the size of the city, just has a ton of early music going on. And it's only increased as I've been here. I've lived here about 16 years, and there's been a lot of new groups forming and a lot more early music going on all throughout the year. And Zephyrus fills this specific niche of vocal and an amateur ensemble that people audition for and that anybody can be in if you have a few skills and the right kind of voice. And I think in the midst of groups that have a more instrumental focus or more medieval, that it's really lovely to have this community-based group that is people that live here and people that love this music and just want to come together every week and sing.
At this point, I admitted to Megan that my knowledge of early music was shambly at best until I came to WTJU, which has a rich fan base of ardent early music appreciators, all tuning into the early music show each Monday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. I asked Megan if she had any advice for listeners new to early music.
Mm-hmm. Well, you already mentioned the early music show, so I think that's such a great way to experience music that someone else already loves, to say, hey, I like this enough, I'm going to play this on my show, I'm going to tell you about it. And I'm always surprised when I'm scanning the dial and I come up and I think, hey, I'm listening to Monteverdi. It must be the WTJU early music show, because that, especially vocal things, just aren't played on classical stations very often. And so I think that's a real treat and a gem that we have here at Charlottesville, that you might as well listen to that show if you want to learn more about early music, because you will. Because you can go on Spotify and listen to various things. I could tell you, oh, go listen to the Talis Scholars or the 16, some really great vocal groups. But if your love is French horn, you're going to want to go explore early wind instruments and groups that play that, which I don't have that off the top of my head. But you might hear it on WTJU. and that's the cool thing, that you're, if you already love music, especially if you already love classical music, I would say find the early version of that instrument that you love. Go listen to Rachel Podger playing Baroque violin. It will be so incredibly different than hearing someone on a modern violin playing Mozart or playing Handel or playing, Bartok. The earlier, when people start playing period instruments, it changes the music so much. It changes the timbre, the bow length is different, and so their bowing is different. The strings are made of different material. As singers, we use different breathing technique to create that sound that is so pure and so beautiful, and the ornaments that go along with it, that we're using a completely different breath flow than somebody who's singing Wagner or even Schubert. If you're singing Schütz or you're singing Monteverdi, there's all early vocal techniques that are going to help you be able to sing that better, more correct style. I guess my experience was that when I was singing opera, I was maybe trying to push my voice beyond what it was comfortable doing because the breath flow is so, I would say fat, you know, not fat as a person, but like it's a really thick breath flow. There's lots of air going through the chords at one time. For early music, it's a much thinner breath flow. It's a little bit more, I don't know if I'd say controlled, but it's just less air at any given time, so that you have greater clarity of sound and you have, it makes agility a lot easier. So you can do the fast passage work and you can do the trills and the other ornaments in a very clear way, rather than having this sort of really fat breath stream that makes it a little more challenging to be agile. It gives this big, huge sound, which is awesome. And that's what people love about opera, that it's so big and so, dramatic. But
also for a dramatic arena and setting.
Yes, also for big stage.
Right.
And, yes.
The venues were historically different.
Yeah, indeed. And so you get those little bit smaller voices, greater clarity of sound, different instruments accompanying, because you would have a harpsichord and you'd have probably lutes and a theorbo and early strings that are a little bit quieter than our modern stringed instruments. I think you fall in love with it. If it's something, if you're going to go down there, you're going to hear these different sounds and just absolutely adore it.
If you're looking to try your voice at early music singing, you might be asking yourself, are they accepting auditions? Dear listener, I asked on your behalf.
Yes, we definitely are. I think Zephyrus has some longstanding members that have been with the group a long time, but we also love to have new people. And that means we have some people coming and going because we have students or we have people who are here for a short period of time. And so we are always looking for new singers. Right now, I have openings for sopranos. I also would love another tenor. I'd love another bass. I would be really happy to hear anybody who thinks that singing in an early music group would be a lot of fun. There are a lot of people who are instrumentalists that come to this and say, hey, I've got the musical skills. Can my voice do this? Could I transition from being a pianist to being a singer? And so we have quite a few people in the group that have made that transition too and really find it musically rewarding.
Zephyrus will be singing an evensong service this coming Sunday at 7:30 p.m. The service will take place at St. Paul's Memorial Church, 1700 University Avenue in Charlottesville, Virginia. The building is handicapped accessible and the service is open to the public. You can find more information about auditions and upcoming events at zephyrus-va.org. This classical conversation was brought to you by Charlottesville Classical, your arts companion for our community.